All right, good evening. If you'll take your Bibles tonight and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to start with verse 16 tonight. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. The Bible records for us, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this night. We thank you for the opportunity to be back in your house tonight as we look into your word and continue our journey through Ephesians. And Father, I pray that you would again speak to each one of us personally. I pray, Father, that we'd be drawn closer to you, that our faith would increase, that you would be lifted up and glorified in all that's said and done. And Father, I pray that we are going to be good stewards of the time that we have. We have no idea. Some of your children, you give many, many years to serve you. Others, just a few short years, and maybe even just a few short weeks. So I pray, Father, that we be good stewards of the time you give us, and we be faithful in our service to you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are to guard our time and opportunities. God gives us opportunities, right? I pray for that a lot. God open some opportunities to share the gospel with people today. And God will bring us through different opportunities. And it was funny because I made a joke about going to jury duty with my Y'all Need Jesus shirt on. And Wednesday, the last day, one of the gals there had a shirt on that says, "Jesus, take the reins." I said, and I thought it wasn't going to be good for me to wear mine. And so we got to talking about it, and she said, "I have a Y'all Need Jesus shirt too." I said, "Yeah, it would have been really funny if all of us came in with a Y'all Need Jesus shirt on, right?" Anyway, so, but you never know when God's going to give you opportunities to talk about stuff, and it was kind of neat because several of them, when we had lunch, they'd bow their heads and silently pray. And I thought, praise the Lord, because you don't usually see a lot of that out there in the public anymore. So that was kind of nice that that was going on. But it says, redeeming the time, making the most of every opportunity. God puts opportunities out there, and sometimes we'll say, "I just don't have time," right? And then God brings an opportunity right to your doorstep, so to speak, and we get so enamored with all the things we got to do, we don't realize that's an opportunity God just gave us. And I shared, I think, once before, several years back, I was on a plane trip one time, and I thought, I need to share with these people, and I did. And it was because I was at a conference. It was a layman's conference. It was before God called me to preach into the ministry preaching, but he'd already called me to preach, so I was just filling in, and so they invited me to this layman's preaching conference. And I went, and the guy before me preached almost the same subject that I was preaching on, but he said, "The thing that I've changed in my life is now I take those opportunities when God gives them," because he said, "I was on a plane, God was telling me, plane, and so just witness to this guy next to you." And he said, "Oh no, Lord, no, I just look at him, you know." And sometimes we look at people and we go, boy, they're intimidating. Folks, they put their pants on one leg at a time like everybody else, right? I mean, they're just another person. And we need to look at people as that and not, boy, they're intimidating, I don't want to talk to them. So he said, I struggled this whole trip. We got there and we landed and the guy got off the plane and all, and he says, I got to the car, they picked me up at the airport, and I got in the car and he said, the first thing I thought of is, that guy could step out into eternity today, and I had an opportunity to witness to him, and I didn't. Redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. We don't know, right? We take our lives, we get in this idea that our time is more important than anybody else's. And then God puts an opportunity right there, and it's because God knows what that person needs. And then we don't step through the door that God's opened. And so we need to be redeeming the time. Make the most of every opportunity that God gives us, because we don't know that we'll have another chance. And we don't know that that person that we should have shared the gospel with may not have another opportunity. Because we don't know what's... Anybody here know what tomorrow holds? I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. I can tell you what's on my calendar for tomorrow. Do I know that I have a tomorrow? I don't. I'll tell you, the older you get, the more clear that becomes, that we may not have a tomorrow. And then time, the word kairos, and it means an occasion, set or proper time, opportunity, season. A fixed measure, allocated season. We are to make the most of the time on this evil earth in fulfilling God's purposes, lining up every opportunity for useful worship and service. We have no idea how much time we have. And time is short. The Bible says our life is as a vapor, right? Have you ever watched a vapor come off the stuff? It doesn't take long and it's gone. We don't have a lot of time here. I remember several people I've talked to, and I've known people that made it into their 90s, one that almost made it to 100, and they said, life is short. I'm like, you live to 100 almost, and you think life is short? And then as you get older, you look back and you think, wow, yeah, it is short. And we don't know how much time we have. So beware of the brevity of time, of life. Look at Psalm 39. We're going to go a couple places in Psalm. So Psalm 39. We're going to look at 4 and 5. Psalm 39 verse 4 says, Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity, Selah. And then Psalm 89, 46 and 47. Psalm 89:46 says, how long, Lord, wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? And then going over to the New Testament in James, chapter 4, we're going to read verses 14 and 17. James 4:14 says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Verse 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We know what we're supposed to do, right? Take those opportunities that God gives us. Don't waste them. Having sovereignly bounded our lives with eternity, God knows both the beginning and end of our time on earth. As believers, we can achieve our potential in His service only as we maximize the time He has given us. This word redeeming is the word exaggerazo, and it means to buy up, ransom, to rescue from loss, redeem, redeeming the time. The idea of redemption is applied in this verse. We are to redeem, buy up all the time that we have and devote it to the Lord. We can get so wrapped up in our lives that we have no time for the things God has called us to do. None whatsoever. And it's easy to do because, let's face it, we're pulled in many different directions. And I can tell you this week, I had a list of things I needed to get done each day, and it was like, okay, well, that one's going to wait till tomorrow because it's not going to get done today. Because you only have so much time. And it can get so overwhelming that you just think, I don't know what I'm going to do. There's no way I can get all this done. And then God throws something else in there. And you just get so overwhelmed. And it's because God wants you to know what's important is what He wants done, not what we want done. Indicating that we are to buy the time up for ourselves, not for our own use, but in the Lord's service. For His own reason, God allows some of His children to live and serve far into old age. Others He grants only a few years or even a few weeks. I know people that have come to know the Lord and within days they're gone home to be with Him. That's not much time to serve Him. But then I know others that have been saved for years and years and years and have done nothing. Done nothing. I mean, we need to take the opportunities He gives us and not squander them. None of us knows how long or short His own allocation of time will be. As I said earlier, we don't have any idea that we have tomorrow. We don't know that we'll make it through tonight and into tomorrow. We have no idea. There's no way to know that. I've known several people. You know, my sister, her friend, he was okay. That afternoon he was gone. You just don't know. I have a friend of mine. He went out, washed his car, came in, sat down. His wife went in to make lunch for him. And she came back out with a plate of food and all, and he was gone in his chair. We just don't know. We have no idea. Contextually, the specific opportunity in view is that of exposing the sins of the lost and being a witness to them. Because the days are evil. I mean, all you have to do is look around, right? If you don't think the days are evil, then your head's in the sand, probably. All you have to do is look around. There's evil everywhere. I said the other day, who in their right mind, and that's the important part there, right? In their right mind, would set a fire and then call the fire department to come put it out just to ambush them. Obviously somebody not in their right mind. You just wouldn't do that if you're in your right mind. It's amazing. The days are evil out there. Because the days are evil, this assigns a reason to seize each opportunity. It is because the sins being committed during these days are so evil. And let me just add this. The Bible's very clear that as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the last days. So I've heard from people for years, nothing has ever been this bad. Really? Have you read the Bible? It was pretty bad in Noah's day. And God said it will be as like it was in the day of Noah in the last days. It's going to get worse. That was spoiler alert, right? It's going to get worse. And I like the fact. I mean, we're seeing some things that are going on out there, and I'm thinking, praise the Lord, some things look like they're turning around. This sinking ship might get through this. But it doesn't take much to shipwreck us. We need to be redeeming every opportunity we have. Our opportunities for freely doing righteousness are often limited. When we have opportunity to do something for His name's sake and for His glory, we should do so with all that we have. Let's not hold back. Let's give God 100%. And then how God's heart must be broken to see His children ignore or half-heartedly take up opportunity after opportunity that He sends to them. Every moment of every day should be filled with things good, things righteous, things glorifying to God. Instead of getting wrapped up in ourselves, maybe we should start thinking about how many people are on their way to hell. How many people that need us to, you know, we sing that, throw out the lifeline. How many of us think about those are souls in need of rescuing, and we have that lifeline and we're not willing to share it? People have too much time on their hands or not involved in productive activities, wind up getting into sin. Make use of your time. Do something good for God. In turn, you will be keeping yourself out of mischief. In 1 Timothy 5:13, it shows one thing that happens when you are idle. So look at 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13. First Timothy 5:13 says, "And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not." Less than 100 years after Paul wrote to the Ephesians, wrote the Ephesian epistle, Rome was persecuting Christians with growing intensity and cruelty. Believers were burned alive, thrown to wild beasts, and brutalized in countless other ways. You want to read about how some people were martyred. Fox's Book of Martyrs is, if you can stomach it, is worth the read. It's amazing the stuff that happened. It's amazing how cruel man can be to fellow man. When you read about the people who were flayed alive, impaled on stakes and set on fire, I mean, the stuff that they did is horrible. And we think, well, it's worse now. No. We just know about it instantly, right? Something happens and instantaneously you know it. Back then, word had to travel before it got to anyone. Now it's instantly everywhere. For the Ephesian church, the evil times were going to become more and more evil. Several decades after Paul wrote this epistle, the Lord commended the church at Ephesus for its good works, perseverance, and resistance to false teaching. Look at Revelation chapter 2, 1 through 5. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." Because the church continued to languish in its devotion to the Lord, its lampstand was removed, as Christ had warned it would be. I say over and over and over, we have to be careful, because we could be in that situation. We decide that we're not going to continue on in the way that God would have us to. He could come and remove our candlestick. And where would we be? Sometimes during the second century, the church in Ephesus disappeared, and there has never been a congregation there since. Because the church at Ephesus did not heed Paul's advice and the Lord's own specific warning, it ceased to exist. Instead of helping redeem the evil days in which it existed, the church fell prey to them. I see that out there. Over and over and over, we see these churches. They start going a different direction, and the next thing you know, they cease to exist. And some would say, well, they've gone a different direction. They need to cease to exist. Otherwise, they're just going to be out there giving people stuff that they don't need. We don't need churches closing up. What we need is people that would take charge, take the leadership roles that God has called them to, and lead the church in the right direction instead of going the way of the world. Get tired of this stuff. And people ask all the time. I get calls. What Bible do you use? Well, it's very obvious. It says right on our website. If you found us on the website, if you read it, it's King James. And I'll be adamant, King James, while I have breath. I'm not changing. God's not changing, I'm not changing. What music do you have? We sing from the hymn book. I remember being at a retreat one time, and the preacher that came out from Ohio, I think it was, he said he had this couple came to the church, young couple, and he said, they came in, they said, after the service, they said, do you have church like this all the time? And he said, I wasn't quite sure what they were getting at. And they said, do you preach from the Bible every time? He said, oh yes. Said, do you sing hymns from the hymn book every time? Yeah. They said, we've been attending a church that sometimes they don't even open the Bible. He said, they had no idea how that thrilled my heart to hear that they are searching for a church that still preaches from the Word of God. And then they were like, we were so thrilled to hear that you were preaching from the King James. He said, that just made me even happier, right? And he said, at the end of the conversation, they said, we'll definitely be back. He said, this is a young couple looking for somebody who's doing things the way it used to be done and should still be done, right? He said, this isn't an old couple that somebody came in and took over the reins of that church and turned it upside down, and now they have a church that they spent their whole life in, and now they're looking for somewhere else to go. This is a young couple. He said, that thrills my heart that there's young people out there still wanting the truth. Still wanting traditional type services instead of this contemporary stuff that's going on. Still wanting to sing the hymns from the hymn book. Amazing, isn't it? And people say, well, no, that's old-fashioned. You won't get them in now. So you abandon what has been laid out for us, that our forefathers have put out there, that follow the Word of God and all? You change all that because you want to try and get them in? What are you going to get them in with? The world? And then when they act worldly, what are you going to do? We need to stay true to the Word of God and redeem the time, for the days are evil. All right, we're going to end there because we don't have time to get started on the next section.